Good morning. May 9th, 2026. Time for your harm reduction briefing. Today's thread runs from tobacco harm reduction in HIV care to naloxone access on the ground, including free naloxone boxes now placed in 5 locations in Patterson. Disclaimer. This software uses AI to aggregate content and transcribe it to speech. Please double-check sources before putting any information into action. Starting with news coverage, Filter reports on the argument that tobacco harm reduction should be part of HIV care. The piece makes the case at a national level and places smoking and nicotine-related harm reduction within broader HIV support and treatment conversations. On a different front, The New York Post reports on backlash around FDA head Marty McCarry after he first blocked and then approved vape flavors. That is another signal to watch around how tobacco and nicotine policy is being framed publicly. In the Social Pulse, one post from Miss Amber Reed shares a lived experience account of being housed while still not believing recovery was possible. She writes that every time she tried to quit, she failed, and that she spent years overdosing alone on her apartment floor after getting housing before things changed. It is a reminder that housing can be critical without being a complete answer on its own. Another set of posts focused on practical harm reduction tools. Zeli Imani highlighted retrofitted newspaper-style boxes being used to provide free naloxone in Patterson, with 5 locations already set up and hopes to expand. Separately, Luke Versui argued for an overdose intervention that reverses the respiratory effects of opioids without immediately throwing the recipient into withdrawal, saying that withdrawal can be dangerous for both the patient and first responders. There was also a visible example of pro-harm reduction messaging from the Loveland Police Department, which said its free Narcan kiosk outside the police department lobby has already distributed hundreds of applicators to the community. By contrast, a separate post from an Oregon-based account criticized Housing First policies as a failure and framed them as producing revolving doors and unsafe environments. That second post is best understood as opposition messaging in the ongoing public debate around housing and harm reduction. From there, a local update out of Memphis. The Shelby County Health Department says it will host a free community care fair on Saturday, May 16, 2026. If that is in your area, it may be worth checking local details now rather than waiting until the week of the event. In research, one newly listed data resource looks at a novel approach to dispensing methadone in carceral facilities through ICPSR data holdings. Another study in the Canadian Journal of Addiction examines the Timmins Community Withdrawal Management Service and its effects on social outcomes and well-being in Timmins, Ontario. A separate paper in the Journal of Policy Analysis and Management looks at insurance coverage and provision of opioid use disorder treatment using evidence from Medicare. That one may be especially useful for readers tracking how coverage rules shape actual treatment access. On the policy front, Kansas has enacted a change affecting emergency opioid antagonist protocols. Law enforcement agencies that do not provide emergency opioid antagonists under the statewide protocol are exempt from the requirement to procure a physician medical director.
Also in Maine, the state has enacted changes to the laws governing the Controlled Substances Prescription Monitoring Program. For anyone working across state systems, these kinds of monitoring program changes can matter quickly for prescribing and compliance workflows. A few funding opportunities are current now. The Bureau of Justice Assistance has a fiscal year 2025 comprehensive opioid, stimulant, and substance use program investigations training and technical assistance opportunity with a deadline of May 13, 2026, so that one is coming up soon. The Centers for Disease Control also has a Comprehensive Addiction and Recovery Act opportunity through NCIPC, with a deadline of June 8, 2026. And the Smart Family Fund is accepting open pitches for its Angel Philanthropy first-time grants, with awards ranging from $25,000 to $100,000. For any additional funding opportunities flagged by the newsletter, check out the browser version. And finally, in activism and organizing, the National Council for Mental Well-Being is asking people to contact Congress in support of certified community behavioral health clinics and related mental health legislation. The National Alliance to End Homelessness is also promoting registration for its fiscal year 2027 Federal Budget Priorities webinar on homelessness. If either of those fits your work, this is the moment to register or reach out while the asks are still current. That is your morning briefing. Stay informed, stay grounded, and have a strong start to your day.